very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am one,
but girls.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey podcast. My name is Bubba, and with me, as always, is
Catfish.
This has been so much fun. We have been counting down the 8 most important characters as we get ready for Game of Thrones Season 8. It's been a blast. This is the 8th unique podcast we've put out. If you haven't noticed, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to any place you look at podcasts and download all 8. It's been really fun talking with our double L's.
Double L's?
Our loyal listeners getting ready for the season we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, now I suggest listening to all of them. Some people were like, I was waiting for my favorite character
don't do that.
And they did. And finally it came and they were like, that was great. And then they said, okay, I'm going to go back and listen to others. And they said they enjoyed them too. If we've done one of your favorite characters so far and you said, that's it, I only love this one character, dip your toes into the other ones. I think you'll enjoy those as well.
Yes. And so if you could throw us a bone, loyal listeners, also go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to whichever place, SoundCloud, whichever place you listen to this podcast, leave us a review there. And not just like stars, actually write something, because it really helps other people who want to follow and enjoy the light of His Grace, King Joffrey Baratheon, first of his name, first in your hearts. It's a way we can build this community, and we're just going to keep building and building and building until we reach the pinnacle, and that's the final episode here in Season 8, which is
also
days
known as
away.
The apex, yeah.
Days away. Can you believe it?
But then the finale is weeks away.
That's correct. We're only days away from the premiere of Season 8. It's incredible. So, Catfish, why don't you remind everybody of the 7 characters we've covered so far in unique podcasts?
All right. Again, remember, these are the 8 most important characters going forward into Season 8. And we've taken a look back at their first 7 seasons and talked about their high points, their low points, our favorite and least favorite lines of theirs, and what their best and worst scenes were. And so we really have had a lot of material to choose from. There's been had to do a lot of research. And we bring that lovingly to you. Number 8 was Hot Pie. Number 7 was Robette Glover. Number 6 was Jon Royce. Personal side, a lot of complaints there on social media. People thought Jon should have been higher.
Okay.
Kono.
Gesundheit.
The Dothraki writer. That one, people seem to agree that he was right in the right spot. He was 5th. Bernadette. Number 4, some people thought she should have been 5 or 6, but Bernadette, very important, handmaiden to Sansa, then Cersei. Number 3 was my favorite Double D in the entire series.
Double D?
Yeah, Dim Dalba.
Oh.
And number 2, with a bullet and a fork, was Hank.
Who?
Yeah, Hank.
Okay. Who?
So as always, you reach out to us. You can hit us up on Twitter at @PHQ. Reach out to us. Tell us what you think, what your favorite, least favorite aspects of these characters or other characters. If you feel like, you know, there was one, you know, not everybody agrees.
No.
Bubba?
No.
Some people have their own characters that they think are important or they have a special connection to. So if there's a character that's not on our list that you want to talk about, that you want to pitch, please share that with us on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can also hit us up in other places. Bubba, tell us about that.
You can find us on Instagram at @PHQ, Facebook, facebook.com/PHQ. Go to YouTube. Now, YouTube, we had some trouble, and so you're going to have to search Double P Podcast, Double PHQ, Double P Media. You'll find us. Search the Joffrey Podcast. You'll find us on YouTube, and we're at Double P Media on Twitch. So just look up all those things. You'll find us. We're everywhere you are. We want to be with you on this great journey into Season 8. We're making the 8, everybody.
Oh, we are making the 8. Wow. So we compiled this list together, Bubba, but would you like to, a lot of people like to know, like,
behind the scenes.
They like the insider info, the double I insider info. So do you want to talk a little bit about how the process came for the 8, but most importantly, this number 1 we're talking about today?
Right. So Catfish and I, we both, you know, we said, hey, let's do this. And I said, Catfish, you come up with four characters. I'll come up with four characters. And then we'll debate where they should fall in this list of eight. And if we have any overlap, that would allow us to, you know, go ahead and grab another character and bring them in. And so our number one character is the only one we both had in our list of the four most important characters that we wanted.
Yeah, I think it's funny that we both had them like lower than one, but the fact that they were the only person on both our lists, we said, then they have to be number one.
Okay, now we have had some pushback online from people who say, you chose somebody named Dim Dulba. They've never said the name Dim Dulba actually on the show. We chose Bernadette. People are like, ooh, Bernadette. Oh, that little character, they never said Bernadette on the air. Hank, our number two, they've never said Hank on the air. And some people had a lot of problems with that. So we said, okay, for number one, then we'll choose a character who doesn't even have a name.
I love it. Yes. You know what? That's right, because not having a name isn't important.
No.
You know, who is one of the most important characters on the show? A girl has no name.
Right. No one is an important character. Now, this character is our number one character you need to pay attention to going into season eight. But even in Wikia, Game of Thrones, and that kind of stuff, we can't find a name for her. I can't even find her in the credits. That's how important she is. They're trying to keep her hidden from us so that we don't know this character.
Wow. So can you tell us how many times this character has appeared and when we would have seen them?
Certainly. Well, now this character, when you ask people, what are your favorite seasons? A lot of people say, well, season three and season eight. And why do people talk about season three? They talk about the big, you know, the heartbreak of the Red Wedding. People talk about season six and they talk about Cersei blowing up the Sept. Those are important.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said season three and season eight. And I thought, well, I'm glad people, it's already their favorite, even though they haven't seen it yet.
whoops. I mean, people talk about season six and they're like, oh, I love it when Cersei blows up the Sept. And so those two seasons, season three and season six, are important seasons. So we decided to pick a character who only appears in those two seasons.
That made complete sense to both of us.
And so, who did we choose for our number one character to look out for heading into season eight? A character who doesn't have a name. We'll just call her Woman Who Looks Concerned.
You know what? If there was, if you had a picture dictionary at home and you looked up concern, her face should be on it. She is embodying concern in both scenes she appears in. So it's not just like, well, how do we describe her? She looks concerned. I mean, she is the ultimate in concern in both cases.
So now I mentioned season three and the Red Wedding and so many people dying and death is such a big part of season three. And sure enough, her scene also takes place around death. It's at Hoster Tully's funeral. So there, it's in River Run where the very first time we see Edmure and the Blackfish, Rob has brought his mother and his wife and his army to River Run to pay his respects for his grandfather, Hoster Tully. Hoster Tully, the first time we see him, is in his funeral boat as they're pushing him out. And you see Edmure Tully, a character who's still alive himself, heading into season eight. Edmure Tully tries to shoot his father's boat with a flaming arrow and misses, and he tries and he misses, and he tries and he misses. And one of those times he tries and he misses, the cameras cut away to people who are watching this, people who are there attending this funeral passage. And there's this woman who her eyes get wide and she's like, oh boy, this doesn't look good. And that is the woman we're speaking of, the woman who looks so concerned. And she does such a great job as an extra that in the DVD commentary, this episode was the first episode directed by one of the show creators, Dan and Dave. They directed it together, but it had one of their names as the actual director. And in the commentary, the director says, oh, I love this extra. I love this shot right here of this woman who, once again, doesn't have a name. Is it? Her name isn't in the credits. And they loved her shot of looking concerned at Edmure's inability to, you know, light this boat on fire. That they said that, and they actually brought her back three seasons later in season six, episode eight. What's happening in that scene, Catfish? Because it's a big moment that leads up to the Sept blowout.
Right. Well, it's season six, episode eight, and I noticed that Tommen is in the scene. That is a very important part of that scene for sure. So that Tommen is in it.
Tommen is there at the Iron Throne. And Cersei, remember, Cersei's been led out of the Sept, and she had to do her walk of shame, where people are yelling shame, shame, shame at her as she's naked and marched through the streets. You know, when that happened, Cersei wasn't let off. She still had a trial with the Faith of the Seven. She still had a trial with the Faith of the Seven that she had to do. And so she always thought, well, as long as I have Frank and Gregor, as long as I have the Mountain by my side, I can win any trial by combat. And suddenly, earlier in this episode, the Mountain has ripped the head off one of the Faith militant who comes to get the queen. When Lancel tries to get the queen, they approach Cersei and she says, I choose violence. The Mountain has ripped this guy's head off, for God's sakes. Later on in that episode, Tommen betrays his mother so much because he knows his mother will do a trial by combat and the Mountain can beat anybody. And so Tommen announces, you know what? We're not going to have any more trials by combat. The crown is outlawing it. And he's totally betraying his mother, setting his mother up for possible death. And who do they cut to in the crowd to show concern, Catfish?
The woman who looks concerned.
She's great. They have a couple of shots of her there, Catfish. It's the same woman. She has gone from River Run to King's Landing. This show is all about traveling the map. She's been in two of the most important locations on the map. She's important.
Now, one other thing, and this is going to be important. I want to lay it out now because this really plays into my favorite and least favorite things about this character.
Yeah.
Is that once you notice her, the thing that stood out most to me, besides obviously a high level of concern.
Yeah.
Was how much she looks like Catelyn Stark.
She does. That's a great point. They have her there because she must be some relative of the Tullys there in season 3. And once again, the directors liked her so much, they brought her back to season 6. But suddenly her hair's darker. Did you notice that? Her red hair isn't as noticeable. Do you see that, Catfish?
Well, that's because she doesn't want to be identified as a Tully anymore. And maybe she's now working at one of, let's just say, an established that Baelish favored.
Hey, now, wow.
Okay. And, I mean, you move to the big city, it's hard to get a job.
Oh, come.
So, but she still likes to be at big events and show concern.
So we liked this actress because, like me, she does great eye work.
Mm-hmm.
And also because this show, you know, it's all these kings making these decisions that hurt the small folk. What is she? But maybe not a small folk, but like a medium folk. She's not a queen. She's not a lord. But the fact she's at these important funerals and at these important announcements by King Tommen, she's obviously the middle folk. And so we represent the middle class here on the Joffrey podcast. We're standing up for her.
Well, also because like you, yeah, she has glorious, lustrous hair.
Thank you. Mine's not red, though, sadly.
Yeah, well, you could dye it just the way she does. You for think different that, situations.
Do you think there's any chance that this actress was actually Michelle Farrelly, Catelyn Stark's stand-in, and they thought, let's give her a scene so she could get on camera?
Now you are ruining my my bits to move on. So why don't we just move on?
Let's do it. So we're going to talk about our favorite scene this character's in, our least favorite scenes this character's in, the high point for the character, when is the character on cloud nine, when is the low point for the character, and our favorite lines from that. So, Catfish, go ahead. What's your favorite scene?
So, again, we're going to go to Double Eye Catfish for today's discussion.
Double Eye?
Industry Insider.
Oh.
I have worked on a few TV shows as an actor, actor with smaller scenes, so I know what this is like to work on these things.
Okay.
So that is exactly my guess, is that so people should know stand-ins are different than background actors, although I'm pretty sure that once they're done standing in, they then go and become part of the background, although sometimes they may not. So what happens is, so for example, they want to light a scene. And to light a scene, they need to figure out, okay, how tall is this person going to be and how tall is that person's going to be and da-da-da-da-da. But because actors, that would be too tiring for them to stand there and sit there while people do it, they go and sit down in those nice director chairs.
What?
And they have people who are their same height and theoretically same height and build, although it's not always the case. I've had several different body types and genders and races representing me as a stand-in.
Okay.
And so they stand there while they light the scene. And then once they're done lighting the scene, sometimes that takes 10 minutes or so. It actually makes a certain amount of sense if you just are standing around for 10 minutes and then it's a little hard to focus. So, but whatever, it's a tough life. My guess is that she was Catelyn Stark stand-in for any of the scenes that Catelyn Stark was in, even if she was not needed as background. But when they had these larger scenes, they would dress her up so that she could go from stand-in to background work. So my favorite scene,
yeah,
is the one in which she's not pictured.
Wait, what?
And that would be one of Catelyn's great scenes where the woman who looks concerned got to be her stand-in when they weren't shooting.
Aw, man. Catfish, that is not kind to this character. You're picking a scene where we don't even see her.
I do, but that's the magic of her, is that she's doing important stand-in work.
Terrible.
All right, so if you disagree with me, what is your favorite scene?
Well, listen to me.
Woman who looks concerned.
Wait,
let me guess. Is she looking concerned during that scene?
Catfish, don't spoil it. I'm trying to throw some surprises to the audience. So my favorite scene of hers is the first time we see her there at Hoster Tully's funeral in season 3, episode 3. And why is it my favorite scene of hers? Because way back when I watched that episode, I thought she did a good job too. I was like, oh, this woman actually does a good job of conveying non-verbally. Boy, Edmure's effing this up. I think she does great work. And so you might want to mock her. I would never do that. That is my favorite woman who looks concerned scene.
Okay, so then for my least favorite scene then, yeah, I shouldn't say it's the ones she's actually in.
Wait, you're saying you have two least favorite scenes of her and she's only in two scenes?
I'm actually going to say my least favorite scene is the one that she is in, season 6, episode 8, Tommen, whiny Tommen. He doesn't represent the Lannisters well. Clearly a step down from Joffrey, but also would be a step down from, like, even, say, Qyburn. So it's only because Tommen is such a whiny bee.
A whiny Baratheon, whiny bee?
Joffrey name, yeah, whiny Baratheon. But it's got nothing to do with her. She is great and concerned in both scenes. But what's your least favorite scene?
Well, you name mine as well. It's that season 6 scene, Tommen. It's so squirrely. We wanted, as an audience, we thought we wanted to see a great battle with the mountain versus somebody in a trial by combat. And Tommen just ruins it for everybody. Now, of course, Cersei being so great, she came up with an even better answer in the blow up of the Sept. But for me, the woman looking concerned, my least favorite scene from her is in season 6.
Okay.
Good old Hank. Hank, remember Hank was in season 1, episode 10, and he didn't look as concerned for Lady Stark when she's walking by after her husband's lost his head as this woman did at a funeral when Edmure couldn't shoot an arrow into a boat. Come on.
Oh, man, that is a great scene. That is, again, it's funny, in the last two, the number two and the number one most important characters in Game of Thrones in the first 7 seasons, the number one and number two characters are involved in scenes that are funny, which is not what you think of when you think of Game of Thrones, but important, very important.
Very important.
To have some comedy to mix in with all the drama and trauma.
That's true. Okay, so we've talked about our favorite and least favorite scenes. Now let's talk about the character. This is not our opinion. It's the character. When is this character at their highest apex? When are they at their lowest valley? Catfish, when do you think woman looking concerned, when do you think is her highest point as a character?
I think her highest point as a character was when Catelyn died and she thought, you know, I look enough like Catelyn that maybe I can get some lookalike work in the world of Game of Thrones. Like, you know, there are people who stand for Catelyn and, you know, she thought maybe I'll be able to, you know, maybe there'll be some plays or maybe there could be some appearances. But that work all dried up.
Oh, yeah. She should go to like car dealerships and be like, come see Catelyn Stark.
Yeah.
Impersonator here.
Yeah.
All right. I think the character's highest point, it's my least favorite scene. But if I'm I'm kind of this mid-class of people in Westeros and I'm able to be in the throne room, Holy smokes. That's incredible. That's awesome. That'd be like the highest point in life. So let's say me, a middle-class person, let's say I got to be in the Oval Office and I was there. You know, if it's this curse.
Seems like anyone can get in these days. So.
Right. Yeah. If I just do my Russian accent, I'll get in. But if it wasn't Trump, I'm saying it would be like the highest point to like be there in the frigging Oval Office. So for me, the character's highest point is when she's there in the throne room in King's Landing. Very high. For my lowest point for the character, I think it has to be on the travel between the two cities. You know, River Run, it's had some trouble. It's had a lot of wars, but it's there and it's kind of more beautiful. It's very green. You look at King's Landing and it's kind of grimy and dirty. And so having to travel and leave this green paradise and go to this dirty city, that for me is Woman Looking Concern's lowest point as a character.
Wow. So what you're saying is she kind of fashioned her life after yours. You moved from pastoral Georgia to dirty
LA.
Chicago, and then dirty LA.
Oh man, when I went to, totally off subject here, but when I moved to Chicago, I was like, man, this looks like slums. This looks like a dirty town. This like, and I'm talking about Wrigleyville, where I was doing improv. And of course, what's so funny is that was my first impression. And of course, because I was doing improv shows, that's where I spent all my time. I was like, oh, look at me here. You know, this is the street I walked out all the time. Oh, look at this. And so first impression was wrong. Wrigleyville and Chicago's a great city. But yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, that's just the way it is at King's Landing. First, you walk around and you go, oh, it's so dirty. And then you realize like the art, culture, the cleanliness, no cats.
The fireworks
really
show.
Yeah, the fireworks show. You know, there's great street theater. Where else do you see someone walking down the street naked and shorn? I mean, that's pretty exciting. You don't get to see that out in the sticks.
No, you don't. You don't. All right. Yeah. So, what's your lowest point for this character?
My lowest point, and again, I'm gonna go to Double Eye Catfish here.
Double Eye,
the industry insider.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna say it was when Catelyn died, and she stopped getting stand-in work, and then didn't get any more extra work until season 6.
Well, who's to say she didn't get more extra work? They just didn't give her a close-up again until season 6. Catfish, you are assuming. And when you assume, you make an ass out of you and no one else.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. All right, so now this is going to be tough here. Again, I had to go to my industry insider, Catfish, for my favorite and least favorite line.
Yeah, so all these 8 podcasts, we've been looking at these characters and we've been thinking, what is our favorite thing they say? What is our favorite line they do? What is our least favorite line they do? So now we have a character who doesn't speak. And so this is going to be tricky. Catfish, what is your Woman Looking Concerned favorite line?
Well, as an actor, you know.
Boy, you keep saying that. You're in a way humble brag here.
No, I'm saying from her point of view as an actor, I think she's going to be thinking something during these scenes so that these thoughts are expressed through her eyes and her physicality.
Sure.
So my favorite line of hers is, oh boy, I'm concerned.
She didn't pick anything more descriptive about these scenes she's in. That's her internal line?
Listen, you get into trouble when you try to express too many complex emotions. How many emotions do you express at one time? You really only express one. Jump quickly from one to another, there's only one expression. There's one emotion you can express at a time.
Okay. All right. Sure. So then what's your least favorite line from Woman Who Looks Concerned?
Okay. My least favorite line is, so they did different takes, right?
Of course.
So she's like, let me try this line in different ways, right?
Of course, my
least favorite line was when she said, oh boy, I'm concerned.
Now, wait a minute.
Because she internally emphasized the wrong word.
Yeah, why would you internalize boy in oh boy?
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you're rehearsing or you're doing stuff, sometimes you either intentionally or unintentionally emphasize a different word just to see if it works. And sometimes it doesn't work. So that was my least favorite line is when she said, oh boy.
Okay.
I'm concerned.
Catfish.
My favorite?
So,
oh, boy. I'm concerned.
Okay. Emphasizing is important here.
Emphasis is key.
Let me go with my favorite internal and external line from her.
Okay, let's hear it.
My favorite internal line from Woman Who Looks Concerned is, this guy can't shoot an arrow. Geesh.
That's a good one.
But what's terrible is she's thinking that during the scene with Tommen. Because King Joffrey was so great about shooting a crossbow, and she's looking at Tommen, and she's like, yeesh.
Oh, man, was he? He was so good.
Jeez. Yeah, Joffrey was. Tommen, terrible. So my least favorite line is the external line. So my least favorite is the external line, where they suddenly said, and cut. And she went, oh, thank God. That was getting hard on my eyes.
Because she was doing so much eye work.
So much eye work, as I do when I'm acting. There, yes. Humble brag.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, amazing. Wow. Well, I can see why we both had her on this and why we put her at number one. Because, you know, a lot of times people put an emphasis on the words when what's really important is the emotion. And she's got it.
Oh, boy. You're right.
Oh, so beautiful. Well, wow, my goodness.
Well, Catfish, that's it. What do we think we're going to see of her in season 8? What expressions do you think she'll be doing? The White Walkers will be coming, and how will she express it?
I'm going to say,
yeah.
So far she's expressed one emotion.
Yeah.
I'm going to say she expresses two more emotions in episode 8.
Double her pay.
She's going to express fear.
Oh, yeah.
That's like concern plus. And then she's going to experience joy or happiness. Maybe not to joy, but to happiness. So for me, I think it's going to be a very successful season 8 for a woman who looks concerned. And we're going to have to triple her description.
Man.
Woman who looks concerned and or fearful and or happy.
Love it. Listeners, write at us. Tweet at us at DoublePHQ, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ. Tell us your favorite moments, your favorite scenes, the high points and low points for Woman Who Look Concerned. Or is there another background actor who we have missed in our quest to highlight the 8 most important characters headed into season 8? Man, Catfish, we did it. Game of Thrones is now, let's see, there's Thursday 1, Friday 2, Saturday 3, Sunday 4 days until we finally start to see Game of Thrones season 8.
Wow. That incredible. Is so exciting. And we will be back podcasting with actual breakdowns of episodes. We'll have fresh content to go over. Amazing.
Yeah, right after the very first airings, which air on the East Coast here in the United States at 9 o'clock. These are supersized episodes, so they'll go pretty long. But I would say about 10:10, because I believe the first episode is just an hour, about 10:10 p.m. East Coast Sunday night. Hop onto our Twitter channel. Hop onto our Facebook page. Hop onto our YouTube channel and watch us and join us and comment as we break down the very first episode. This is so exciting.
Oh, man. I am a tingle with joy, just like the woman who now looks joyful.
Well, that's it. Guys, we really could use a couple more iTunes reviews. We want to help connect with you, so let us know. Now, Catfish, is there anything else we have to do before we sign off tonight?
Oh, Bubba, you know how it goes.
What?
The people demand their Joffrey of the podcast.
Wait, the Joffrey of the podcast? That's what they're downloading.
Right. Yes, no, they're downloading the Joffrey of podcasts. And because of that, they know they must have every podcast.
Yeah.
We talk about someone who embodies some aspect of Joffrey. And that is because no one can be all things Joffrey, because Joffrey is a singular entity across the universe expressing all things amazing. So no one character can have everything that Joffrey has, but we like to highlight or spotlight a person, real or alive, real or dead, alive or fictional, human or non-human, or sometimes, as in yesterday, an idea.
Oh, yeah.
As you know, for the last 2 days, my Joffrey of the podcast has actually been Joffrey.
What?
Pretending to be other people. On Monday, as we all know, I had Joffrey wending around the world, pretending to be Dim Dalba.
Double D. Yeah, that was a dramatic pause there.
Yeah, right? That was when he was – so he is actually like a faceless man. And he was checking out the situation going on in the in the north.
Right.
On Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yesterday, he was Hank. So he was hanging out with the little people, also delivering a little bit of verbal justice to a surly Stark.
We're all Hank on the inside.
And then, but then yesterday, you got me thinking, Bubba, when you said that your Joffrey of the day was belief.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And so that is bigger. An idea is usually bigger than a person. Nothing is bigger than Joffrey, but no. An idea is bigger than any other person than Joffrey.
Exactly right.
So, of course, what have we seen from Joffrey? He is going undercover. He is leading from behind or underneath or below. He is taking care of pestilence and filth wherever he sees it. He's basically doing all he can to make the world a better place. And what does that express? Concern.
Oh, no.
So how better to express concern than for Joffrey to have gone undercover as a faceless man for the woman who shows concern? So my Joffrey of the day is the idea concern, and also Joffrey, the faceless man, as the woman who shows concern.
Oh, that's incredible. How could you? That's...
It's magnificent, and I couldn't be prouder of myself.
You couldn't. That's true. I wish you could, but you couldn't. All right, so my Joffrey of the week. Now, I have... Excuse me, the Joffrey of the day. I guess this will be our Joffrey until our next episode after the season 8 premiere.
Right.
So my Joffrey for this period of time is somebody who is very important. And when you think about this person, it reminds me of the Mueller report.
It seems to be much on your mind lately.
And so certain things are hidden, right?
Yeah, of course.
They're very much hidden. And I think, well, what kind of person has been hidden the most?
What? Tell me, what kind?
An alien. An alien has to hide, right?
Yeah, of course they do. It makes complete sense to me.
Because if you're an alien out there, the evil government will attack you and want to turn off your heart light, right?
Yeah, aliens with heart light, sure.
And so, who connects with that alien with a heart light? Elliot.
Oh, I thought it was Neil Diamond.
Listen, he was putting
on his heart light.
Okay, but like a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
What are rough diamonds if not as valuable as gold? And because I love gold so much.
Yes.
I think of House Lannister.
Yeah, of course you would.
And who is the leader of House Lannister?
It was Joffrey Baratheon. His grace, first of his name, first in your hearts.
Exactly right, because all the other Lannisters are dead. So King Joffrey is my Joffrey of the day.
Oh, okay, I was still confused. So it's not Elliot or a heartlight or an alien. It's King Joffrey.
Do I have to go over the Mueller report with you again?
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? It makes complete sense. It's well reasoned and well described. So I'm not going to give any more pushback on it because I don't want to hear it anymore.
His grace, first of his name, first in your hearts, King Joffrey. He is my Joffrey of the day. All right.
Yes. All right. So we will be back in a scant, as he said, 4 days? Is it right?
Four days. Can you believe it?
4 days until the next podcast. And you know what?
What?
So that means there's 4 days left for you to still pitch who is one of your top 8 characters. Or you could just pick your top 1 character. It could be possible that you've got there's a niche character that wasn't in our top 8 that you'd like to talk about and say, what was your favorite scene of theirs? What was your least favorite scene, favorite line, least favorite line, highest, lowest point? So if you want to share that with us, please share it at DoublePHQ on Twitter or at DoublePHQ on Instagram. We would love to hear from you guys.
That's right.
It's important. Our community is important. We love our loyal listeners. We do it for the shorties. We've been doing it for you for a week and a half now. Really, as you can tell, we really have spent a lot of time thinking about our Joffreys of the day. And so we do a lot of hard work for you. So we love the feedback and we appreciate it.
All right. My name's Bubba. You can find me individually on Twitter at Fitch and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fitch and Trim on Twitter.
And I am Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67, and you'll hear from us again in 4 short days on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.
Oh, boy.
Dimdoba.